The story goes that Benjamin Franklin, occasionally when he was in the town where there was this infidel club, this is a group of men who would get together and they would read literature primarily as unbelievers in the Bible and most even unbelievers in any kind of supreme being, or we would call God. Well, of course, Benjamin Franklin believed in God and he was an avid reader of the Bible as well. But he would go occasionally, and one time, as the story goes, he was there and he said, "I found this book that is just really exciting to me and I'd like to read the book to you," which was the way they did this thing. And they said, "Mr. Franklin, go on and read your book." So he begins to read the book, changing the character titles, you know, the names in the book and the location, not to give that away. And he reads the entirety of the book. And when he is done with it, the comment that came back was, "This is gorgeous. This is beautiful. In fact, this is the most beautiful love story we have ever heard. What is the book?" And he said, "It's from the Bible, and it's called the Book of Ruth." And it is true. The Book of Ruth and Boaz, you have to put him in there, is a beautiful story of love and devotion. It is more than a story of how Boaz loved and cared for Ruth. It also is a story of how Ruth loved and cared for Naomi and the true God. It is a story that begins with sadness and yet it ends in great joy. It is a story that begins with famine and multiple deaths in a family and it ends with new life at the birth of a child. It is a story of how a non-Israelite learns of God through a woman of the tribe of Judah, which means praise. Ruth comes to know God, and Ruth turns her Jewish, Israelitish mentor or mother-in-law back to hope and joy in her God. And it is also a story of how God guides events in our lives as He brings us to Himself. In other words, it is a book of love and devotion. It is also quite striking that the quality of the characters in this book is outstanding. It is an excellent book. If you read it just for literature, it's a beautiful story. When you read it with knowing that it's a true happening. And when you read it with the knowing that it is a true happening and it also has an impact on our lives, then I think it's a book that we would want to know some things about. The Book of Ruth consists of just four chapters, easy to sit down and read it in one occasion. But when you read it in one occasion, I think you've missed some of what the book holds out for us. And so I make a recommendation that if you have not read this book anytime recently, do so. Maybe even do so by tomorrow. Because the book does have some things to do with Pentecost. I want to go through a quick overview chapter by chapter of the book, and want to do this in a very quick way. First of all, we understand, it's very clear in Ruth 1, verse 1, that the book takes place during the time of the Judges. Therefore, it is located in the Bible right after the book of Judges. Now, what I find interesting is you look up in the book, Ruth 1, verse 1, and it tells you that it takes place during the time of the Judges. And then you look right above that in probably most Bibles on the same page, it'll have the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Judges. And what it says is that every man did that which was right in their own eyes. It's striking to come from the book of Judges with that statement having been said two or three times in the book, And then to come to the book of Judges, and you see a list of people who did not do everything that was right in their own eyes. They actually devoted themselves to God. And it is a striking book when you read Judges and then read the book of Ruth. Immediately after, you see a contrast. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book in a lot of ways. Chapter 1, what we find is a family of four, a father, a mother, and two sons, who were residents of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. They decided, because of a famine in the land, to go and to leave Israel and to go to the land of Moab, which was on the other side of the river. While in Moab, the two sons married two Moabite women. Both sons, Mahlon, which means sick, and Chilion, which means pining. And no, I don't know why you would name your son sick, and I don't know why you would name your son piling or pining. And also their father, Elimelech, which means the Lord is king, or my Lord is king. All three died. The mother, whose name is Naomi, which means pleasantness, as a result, decided to return to Bethlehem. She falls in a deep depression and even bitterness over what has taken place, what has happened. In fact, she feels so sad that she renames herself Mara, which means bitter. She says, call me no more Naomi, which means pleasantness, but call me Mara, which means bitter. One of the daughter-in-laws, Ruth, which means friend, returned to Israel with Naomi. Chapter 2, we find Naomi and this young widow, Ruth, arrived in Bethlehem during the barley harvest. In other words, what we find is it's a time when they are counting toward Pentecost. In Israel, poor people were allowed to glean in the barley fields during this particular time. Later, it would go into the wheat field. But the book takes place during the time of the barley portion. But hold your place if you're in Ruth and go back with me to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. In Leviticus 23, what we find is all the holy days listed and all in one place. And we find from the Sabbath to the Passover, days of unleavened bread, moving right into the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost as we refer to it. Let's read verse 22. Leviticus 23, verse 22. It says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of your field when you reap. In other words, you're not to go all the way to the corners and square your field corners out. Let the crops grow all the way to, but don't go in these corners. Kind of round, you know, kind of don't go all the way in the corners. Neither shall you gather any gleaning of your harvest. In other words, if you're going through and you're cutting the barley and or the wheat, whatever the case may be, if any, this is called the gleaning process, you're cutting it, and if any of it falls, it says, leave it there. Leave it there. It says, neither shall you gather any gleaning of your harvest. You shall leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. And here's the reason why. I am the Lord your God. You see, God is a generous God. He is so awesome. And it's one of the things that we need to understand, that we need to understand and realize about the Feast of Pentecost. That God is a generous God. He is awesome. And how he cares for and he takes care of even the stranger, the poor that may be among us. And he says, so leave it. As you glean, don't go back and pick it up. What we notice here, and it does us good to realize that we notice these instructions are in connection with the days of counting to Pentecost. That's when the instruction is given, and this is where this book is found. It is during those times. So Ruth gleaned for herself and for Naomi in the fields of one of Naomi's relatives, whose name is Boaz. Boaz was a wealthy and an honorable man. Boaz noticed Ruth and told his harvesters, the reapers, to leave extra grain for her. In fact, what he tells them is, not just to don't go and pick it up if you drop it, it was to drop a little extra in front of her as you cut along the way. Chapter 3. Naomi advised Ruth to request that Boaz become her kinsman redeemer, or the Goel, G-O-E-L, which was a custom in Israel. Chapter 4. Boaz took care of the necessary conditions that would allow him to marry Ruth. Ruth became the happy bride of Moab. They soon had a son named Obed, which is in the lineage of King David and Jesus Christ. And now we have the book of Ruth. Now that's the book. That's the book. But there is so much more. There is so much more. In many Jewish congregations and synagogues, this wonderful story of Ruth and Boaz is read each year at and on the feast day of weeks or Pentecost. In other words, it will be read on day 50. I'll put it that way, on day 50. Which in our case would be tomorrow. It would be read tomorrow in a Jewish congregation. The story is about love, commitment, faithfulness, loyalty, redemption, service, generosity, care, concern, and protection of the poor. And obviously, much, much more. It is a story of how one kindness can be repaid a thousandfold and more. It is a story that shows how temporary suffering can end in joy and great reward. It is a story of going toward God and leaving behind all of one's past. It's the book of Ruth. From the book of Ruth, we learn much about God from the lives and experiences of some of these ancient Israelites, such as Naomi and Boaz, who were submitted and committed to God. Yes, Naomi had this time of depression and great sadness because both of her sons and her husband die. And she's alone. And she's in another land. And she wants to return home. And she feels so bitter. She feels so sad. Obviously so. But she doesn't remain that way. She doesn't remain that way because of many of the lessons that we learn from the book. And we learn also that God brings in others to be part of what it is that He, God, is doing. Others are brought in to be part of the story. At this time, I'd like for us to take a look at some of the traits that we find about the title character, Ruth. And brethren, if we look at the story closely, we can learn a great deal about what the bride of Jesus Christ is to be like. And the reason is because Ruth displays many of the character traits that Jesus' bride is to have. Now maybe we just upped the interest level a little more. Ruth is symbolic in this story of the bride of Jesus Christ. I think that's something that we would want to know about. And so let's take a look at some of these character traits. So what was Ruth like? She was, well, many things. Many things. She was, and I don't have these in any particular order of importance or chronological order out of the book, but I do have them in an order. In fact, I put them in alphabetized order. The first one I have is that of being cooperative. I give you an illustration. I'm not going to go and read all of these accounts because we could do this and be here till tomorrow because this book is so full, even though it's only four short chapters. But she was very cooperative. When she was instructed by Naomi to go to the threshing floor during the days of barley, when they would bring the grain in, the barley in, they would bring it into the storehouse, a lot of different names, or threshing floor, and they would beat it out onto the floor. The master, in this case, Boaz, the owner, they would stay there through the night because it would be long, hard work, and then they would do this again tomorrow, and then they would do it again the next day. And they would do this. And so he would be working all of these 7 weeks of harvesting, gathering in. And so he would be there. And she was cooperative in the sense that Naomi told her to go to the storehouse, to go early to find out where Boaz was going to be sleeping. In other words, where he had laid his bed out, his blankets out. And then you hide yourself until it's night. And then when the man has gone to bed, Naomi tells Ruth to go in unto him and to lie at his feet and ask him to cover her with his clothing, which he does. And she's cooperative. She's doing this as a matter of faith and trust and confidence because she is someone who has come to trust God. And Naomi is telling her the way to do this from a godly point of view. A second thing is that of commitment. Commitment. Go to Ruth chapter 1 in verse 14. Ruth chapter 1 in verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. This is when Naomi says, I'm returning, I'm going back home. And you ladies, you daughters of mine, your daughters-in-laws, but you are my daughters. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. Go back to your former way of life and leave me alone and I'm going to go. And it says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. It means with great passionate cries. It's the Hebrew what it would actually mean. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. In other words, and she turned and left. But Ruth clave unto her. This word, this phrase, and some of the other translations actually make it much clearer. Held her tight and would not let her go. Said, you need to go back, you know. And so the one kisses her. They're weeping, they're crying, they're sad. And the one turns to go back and Ruth holds on to her. And it says, and would not let her go. Another phrase is, would not be parted from her. In the King James, it simply says, but Ruth clave unto her. And we read over this. This is something with great emotion that she is doing. And then, of course, she goes on and says the famous verses that most people know from the book. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will go. Your God will be my God. What it is God is converting her. It seems to me, and I'm saying this is me, I can't tell you this from the scriptures, but to me, this is Naomi has been explaining her God, the true God of Israel, to these women. Both of them apparently believed. One trusted and one didn't. One trusted. And wherever you're going to go, wherever your God is, that's where I'm going to be. I want to be where the true God is and you're going to be there and that's why I want to be there. And it's a lot of that kind of thinking and talking about here. It is an expression of strong commitment. So when we say that she was committed, it's an understatement. Another one is that of courageous. I mean, after all, she left her father and her mother and her whole past way of life that she has ever known, and left with her mother-in-law to go to a place that she had not, that she had no prior knowledge of, other than just things that she had heard. That's courageous. So many of the people of God have been told by God, be you therefore courageous. It means to stand firm in God. It means to follow, to be, you know, really with it in that sense, to be excited about doing it. It doesn't mean necessarily standing up to take the bullet in the place of somebody else. It's not necessarily what this is. This is talking about you're standing firm, and it has the context of standing firm for God. Courageous. Joshua was told to be you therefore courageous. Another one is faithful. Another one was guided by God. Was her life guided by God? Oh, I think so. I think her life was definitely guided by God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. You can put a marker in Ruth. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. And I want to read a verse, and I want to liken the verse to the life of Ruth. I mean, it's a lot of other people's lives are also in this verse, but I'm putting Ruth's life is here also. And all things are of God. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ruth was being reconciled to God. I know somebody could say, well, wait a minute, reconciliation was to the Jews and to the Israelites. And no, reconciliation is to mankind. There's an order, perhaps, but reconciliation is between God and man. In this case, woman. And I believe that she was being reconciled to God. So I do believe that her life was being guided by God. Hard working, yeah. The men in chapter 2, when Boaz comes and he says, you know, hello to all of you and God bless all of you. Blessings upon you all. And the men say, and blessings upon you. God bless you. He was a righteous man and they knew this. And they knew they were working with a righteous person. And so he's asking blessings upon his workers. And they're asking blessings back upon him. And they know this. And so, and we know that she was hardworking because he notices her and he says, well, who is this? And he says, this is the Moabitess woman who came back with Naomi, you know, Ruth. And he went, oh, well, he knew who she was, but he didn't know her by sight. And so he didn't know who she was. And then the men tell him, Boaz, she has been here since early morning, even to now, and has not taken but one break, and that was to go get some water. And she was there from very early. It might mean daylight. She's been out there. They got there. It says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find a good place that we can gather in the gleaning. So we'll have food. So we'll be able to sell. So we'll have monies to be able to buy, to be able to have a living. This is what she's doing. She's out there, perhaps as early as daylight, ready to work. She's hardworking. There's no question about it. Loyal, modest. There's a story in regards to that. Obedient. I could go through and tell you stories out of the book of Ruth on every one of these. And I think you need to go through and put scriptures and verses by all of these because it's here. Because remember, what are we looking at? We're looking at the characteristics which are typical of the bride of Jesus Christ. Patient. Righteous. Servant-oriented. Just by that one, just put the word Naomi. She is service-oriented. She's taking care of her mother-in-law. Submissive, temperate, self-controlled, trusting, unselfish. And you can go on and on and on. And you can look at this and you can see from the book of Ruth, this is the way this young woman, this widow, was. We also can come to the conclusion that this is the way the bride of Jesus Christ will be also. And there are many others. She had an attitude about her that was just like the servant of God, Joshua. She had the same type attitude. And we see this through the book. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua 24 and verse 15, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that was her commitment. That was an attitude that stood out about this young woman. As with learning some necessary traits about the bride of Jesus, Boaz is the picture of Jesus, the groom. And so we can look at some of the characteristics of Boaz and we can see how the groom is, how Jesus Christ is, and obviously how we are also to be like him. And we can see these characteristics out of the book of Ruth about Boaz. So what was Boaz like? Boaz was, well, many things. Considerate. Just look at the way he greets his men in chapter 2. He greets them and asks blessings from God upon his field hands. I mean, if we want to put it down to and put it in some terms, these are field hands. These are not people who are co-brokers and co-owners with him in this adventure that he's doing. These are field hands. And just see how considerate he is to these men. And then very quickly see how he is considerate to Ruth. But you not only see how considerate it is to Ruth, but he also is to the other handmaids. Because he says, what you see they doing, you can do also. I mean, that's what he says. Which meant he was considerate of them also, even though they're just mentioned in passing. So he was considerate. He was courteous. He was generous. Drop a little extra in front of her if you were cutting on the row where she is gleaning. Yes, she had the gleaning, what fell, she was to get because that was the law. And Boaz was a righteous man. So he was already going to do this and his men were already going to, they were not going to go back and pick it up. But he says, drop a little extra. And it's because he makes it kind of clear. He says it's because of what she has done for Naomi. This is nothing at this particular point, any type of sexual interest. That's not what you see. I'm not saying there wasn't an attraction. I'm not saying that wasn't there. But that's not what it focuses on. It's the way she has taken care of somebody else. And it's like, go out of our way to be generous to helping her as she is being generous and taking care of somebody else. Now, who is Naomi to Ruth by this time? She is the mother of her deceased husband. How many people are going to take care of their mother-in-law after the wife or the husband is deceased? Not many. And here she is. She left her parents. She left her whole way of life to be with her. Yes, she represented something. And, you know, in many occasions where we look at it, Naomi, and I'm not really covering that other than just make this statement. Naomi in this story looks like the church. And so Ruth is doing something and clinging on to something much more than what we see or what it looks like. But he is generous toward this woman and to others. He was honorable. The men all saluted him as looking up to him as a man of honor and kind. He was oriented to God's ways. He knew exactly what the policies and procedures were in Israel at the time to take care of all this business. Naomi says, "You don't have to worry, Ruth, to do anything because Boaz will take care of it. He will not rest," meaning he's not even going to sleep until he gets this matter at hand, and he has purchased you, as it were. Which meant he was oriented to God. He was oriented to God. He knew God's ways of life. Also, he was protective. Because he tells Ruth and he says, "Don't go anywhere else. Because I've told all the other men, I've told all the men to not touch you." In other words, he's warned them. He's warned them. Stay away from her. Protective. And obviously wise. And there's one more characteristic that I want to mention about Boaz, and that was Boaz was discerning. You see, Boaz understood that Ruth had chosen to follow the God of Israel. And he was discerning. She wasn't just a young woman who was widowed, who had nothing else to do or any other place to go, so she hung on to the coattail of her mother-in-law. That's not what happened. Yes, she is taking care of her mother-in-law. That's the outward. That's what is seen. But what is learned and discerned from the heart is, from a Boaz, is that Ruth has chosen to follow God. And with Boaz, there are many other characteristics also. So let me ask another question here. Who does Ruth represent? Ruth is us. Ruth represents us. Us on our way to being the bride of Jesus Christ. Put yourself in the place of Ruth. And how do we respond? How do we act? How do we measure? Ruth can serve as a symbolic representation of how we come to God. How do we come to God? Ruth left everything behind. Everything. And what is interesting in saying that she represents us is by the fact that Jesus tells us we are to leave all behind. And she did. We are to leave all behind in a spiritual sense, and sometimes maybe even in a physical sense also. She left everything behind. Go with me to the book of Luke. You can see this in Matthew and John also, and Mark, but I wanted to read from the book of Luke, chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Luke 9, verse 23, "And he said to them all," this is Jesus speaking, and the all, you look up in verse 18 and it's clear, he's talking to the disciples. "And Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Deny himself is give it all up. How much are you willing to give up to be able to follow Jesus Christ? Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, daily, and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his own life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. One of the daughter-in-laws, as it were, saved her life. And one gave it all up. It's a contrast. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19 and verse 29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Ruth gave all of these up. She gave it all up. And so many times we can read this book and not even realize what actually she gave up. Boaz says of Ruth in Ruth chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. And there are people who read this verse and they don't understand it. That I have purchased to be my wife. With this statement in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, Boaz pictures Jesus Christ, the groom. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. What is that price? The life and blood and death of Jesus Christ. He gave it all up for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ruth understood something, and Boaz pointed it out. They both understood something, that there was a price to pay. And we've been bought with the price. The characteristics of Ruth revealed in this small book indicates that she certainly had, her mind was open and her mind was filled with wisdom. That she certainly had a wise and understanding heart about her. Proverbs 31. You could read all, and I'm not going to, but you can put in here Proverbs 31, 10 through the end of the chapter. And she has so many of those characteristics. I just want to read one, verse 26, Proverbs 31. You know Proverbs 31 is a virtuous woman, right? Okay. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. These are characteristics of the bride of Christ. She's willing to go to afar. She's willing to search out. She's willing to take care of her maidens. She's willing to do all of these things for other people. And Ruth did those things. She got up early. She went out probably, from the way the wording is in the Hebrew, it could have been, I'm not saying it was, but could have been, that she was there ready to glean to take care of herself and Naomi at daylight. She went out early. And you read those characteristics that are there in Proverbs 31. And I think so many of them are summarized in one sense by 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. What she says is of God. And her tongue, and in her tongue, what she speaks is the law of kindness. It's the way of life of God. This is the virtuous woman, which is the characteristics that Ruth had, and it is also the characteristics of the bride of Jesus Christ. This story is so moving in so many ways that it was simply preserved by God as scripture for all of us to be able to read. Yes, even as just good literature. Because it's an interesting story. It's a story of a man and a woman that really came to the place that they really loved one another. And that in itself is a beautiful story. How good overcame evil. It ended up, you know, three people dying. She goes to a country, she has nothing, and then her daughter-in-law is out slaving, as it were, to take care of her. And here's this wealthy man who was, oh, by the way, he happens to be kin to us, and he's going to do the right thing because the law of the land at the time in Israel was that if you're the closest kin, you marry the person and you take care of him and you raise up a family in the name of the deceased husband. And here's a man who says, okay. Not only does he just say, okay, Naomi tells Ruth, says he won't rest, meaning he may not even sleep until he gets it done. So yes, it is a beautiful story. Yet it is so much more. We see in this book a woman of faith, and loyalty, and courage. We also see in this book the real hero of the story. Boaz is the real hero in the story. The book doesn't really focus so much on him. He focuses the book on the bride. But the hero is the groom. He sees to it that it's done. And he does not rest until everything is taken care of. Jesus Christ told his disciples, and he says, I'm going to go back. I have to go, because if I don't go, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, cannot come unless I go away. But I'm going to go away, and I am going to be preparing places for you. He's taking care of everything, getting all the business done to come back and to take care of his bride. This is what Boaz did. And it's kind of thrown in. And he is the real hero in the story. This is not taking away anything from any of the other people in this book. But he's the real hero. He's the one that gets it done. He's the one that the whole thing centers around in so many ways. Because it pictures Jesus Christ, who's getting done whatever and everything that needs to be done, while the bride is waiting. Which is what Naomi told her to do. To wait. To wait. There are many people who believe that Ruth is a type of the bride of Christ and Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ. And I personally believe that this is what the story is about. And it does appear that there are many reasons to interpret this book and these characters in this way. Brethren, as we move closer and closer to the return of our kinsman redeemer, which is what Boaz fulfilled, and then he paid the price to have Ruth as his bride, and then the wonderful blessings that happen as a result of it. As we await closer and closer for the return of our kinsman redeemer, perhaps we need to learn more and more and more about our role as the happy bride of Christ. Well, one way to do so is to study the book of Ruth. I didn't say just read it. I said study it. Because see, earlier when I told you what was in each one of the four chapters, I told you, I said, that's the book. That is the book, if you read it. But if you really study it, you're going to see there is so much more wisdom in how we today, as the potential bride of Jesus Christ, are to be living our lives. So study the book of Ruth. So with that in mind, let me ask you a question, or a couple of questions. How much are we looking forward to His return? I mean, He says, I'm going to go away, and I am going to come. How exciting and how much excitement is in our lives anticipating and looking for the return of our kinsman redeemer or our husband? How excited are we about this? And how much are we preparing ourselves to be like Ruth? How much are we like Ruth? How much do we want to be like Ruth? She is symbolic of the bride of Jesus Christ, which is the church, which is us, which all of this took place during this time of the year. So I think it's fitting that we would look at ourselves and make comparisons to what we learn from the book of Ruth. In Revelation 19:7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. Are we prepared like Ruth? The Aaronic blessing, number 6. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Does this sound like Jesus Christ to His bride? The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.